Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time, and Democrats seem to think now this week they have found the issue. The hill to fight on, maybe die on. They're willing to do that, and that is this USAID, USAID. Here is Kaylee McGee White on, I think it was Fox, talking about inviting Democrats to die on that hill. Once the American people start to hear some of the stuff they've been doing, break it down versus their argument, they're the only thing that's stopping people from dying in third world countries. Here's what she said.
It's always amazing to me, Kaylee McGee White, when you're trying to justify it's only tens of billions of dollars. I mean, who cares, really?
Well, and if it's such a small amount of the federal budget, why is it such a big deal that Trump wants to cut those programs? Again, the logic here doesn't make sense. And, you know, I invite Democrats and the leftist media to die on this hill because USAID is such a perfect example of leftism run wild in our federal government. And the more attention they raise to the issue, you know, the more that Americans are going to start to see their priorities for what they are. There is no justifiable defense for these left-wing priorities that USAID has been funding for years. And so I'm glad it's getting the attention deserves. They're just not going to find much public support from the American people on this.
That's exactly right. But here is Chuck Schumer. This is cut nine. This is what animated them yesterday. It wasn't anything else that Trump did. This is the thing that's unifying them to go nuts. Chuck Schumer now chanting, "We will win." Here's how it sounds.
I'm going to stand with you in this fight, and we will win.
We will win.
We will win. We will win. We will win. We will win.
Yeah, Trump shaking.
We won't rest. We won't rest. We won't rest. We won't rest. Thank you, everybody.
And there was this New Jersey congresswoman, Dan, that I'd love to have on in studio. This is cut six. I don't know her. LaMonica McCulver, Democrat, New Jersey, talking about that we will shut down the city. The city of what? She's actually calling now for civil disobedience. There's supposedly protest strikes across the country today on this. Here's this LaMonica McCulver from Jersey.
We will not take this. We will fight back.
Fight back. Fight back.
And as I close out, because I know we've been out here for a long time, yeah. And God damn it, shut down the city.
Oh. Yeah.
We are at war. Anytime a person can pay $250 million in into a campaign and they be given access, full access to the Department of Treasury of the United States of America. We are at war.
Okay, let's see if you win on this USAID. Now, 1:30, Victoria Coates from the Heritage Foundation, just a spectacular guest, is going to join us. And we'll break down this USAID. We'll also talk to her about Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., both now apparently on a glide path to being confirmed. I don't know if I fully agree with her, though. She's more gung-ho about the Gaza thing. And she is very respected, an insider, Philadelphian all the way through. But Trump is really not going to go into Gaza. That's not happening. It's to shake up the system, to offer other solutions to this. And I get, you know, what I've seen over the years that the average person does around all this stuff in the Middle East, by and large, is they don't want to hear it anymore. In other words, they're not on the edge of their seat saying, we want some big solution to this. They just think, does it never end? I don't want to deal with this. October 7th, that was different. That was so savage. And how these people like my alma mater, LaSalle, reacted to this showed their true colors. But short of that, no, we're not going to invest all of this into Gaza and go down that path with American military there and snipers and everything else. There's no upside to that. So I commend Trump for trying to shake up and get away from the same old. We can't go back to what it was. But I don't see us doing anything like. And you're not turning Gaza into the Riviera. I mean, it's clear to me when I have people tell me time after time after time, here's what we want. We don't want Israel there. So you have two choices. The Jews in Israel can leave or they can be killed. I take them at their word. I don't say, hey, what about if I give you some beachfront property? They don't care about that. Look at what they did with Gaza. Immediately, what do? They set about all these tunnels, weaponizing it, missile launchers in hospitals. That's what they want. You know, you can dissuade a lot of people with economic success. Not these people. They're haters. They're losers. And there's significant numbers of them. Probably not the majority in Gaza, but even if it's 25%, that's what they want. You're not going to suddenly, just imagine, we'll have hotels here, gambling, it'll be like Vegas. They're not going to do that. It's obvious what they want. When people tell you repeatedly and act on it about what they want, I take them seriously. So my only other option is to try to help my ally stop them. Well, that's not such a great option, I agree. But picture Gaza. Now, Bill Devlin has been there, I think, 20 times. He talks about it all the time. You know, what it's really like there. Just yeah, you have palm trees and all, but you just have destitute stuff going on. You don't have a functioning government or anything like that. It's a base. It's like a military base. It's like an attack point, a launch point. That's all that they do every day. More tunnels. Yeah, but, you know, if we change it around, get them out of there, and then make it into something else. No, you're not doing that. But it certainly did shake things up. And I'm so glad to see Pam Bondi confirmed. Those of you that were saying, oh, I want Matt Gaetz. Oh, man. Can you imagine what this would be like with Matt Gaetz? First of all, I know that Trump is persuasive to get his nominees over the finish line. You're not getting Matt Gaetz over the finish line. And Pam Bondi is brilliant and detail-oriented. She's already on top of stuff like saying we ought to release the Epstein file. If that gets released, that's going to be really interesting to see who's on that list and how it plays out. 855-839-1210. Side question, hit us with someone who's lucky. We've had really good ones. Dan, anybody on Twitter catch your fancy? That's someone who's lucky. One guy, Marcus Aurelius, I think, said his father.
Yeah,
because he was born. That meant the father had a deferment, didn't have to go to Vietnam. Pretty good. Yeah.
Paris Hilton just said by Michael.
Yes. Yeah.
Thought that was a good one. Ryan Seacrest taken off the board.
Yep, definitely.
And how about Tom Brady?
Ooh.
How's he lucky?
He's got it all.
Yeah, but I mean, well, that's not luck. We're saying you're lucky. It was more luck. That guy's as detail-oriented as anybody I've ever seen.
He got all the calls just like the Chiefs did back in the day, whether it was the tuck rule.
Well, he did get the big one, the tuck rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he didn't get the tuck rule, would the legend of Tom Brady have started?
Another one was Dee Ford in that, I think it was 2018 right. or 2017 AFC Championship game with the offsides call. That,
right.
put them in the Super Bowl against the Eagles instead of the Chiefs.
But I mean, being lucky enough to be a seventh-round draft pick, picked to a guy.
Six, 199.
And then having Bill Belichick as a coach that right. really built his career and made him the individual that he is. I mean, I'm not saying
having
that he...
Drew Bledsoe get hurt
yeah,
so he
yeah,
can get in
yeah.
the game in the first place.
It's kind of selling me on this answer here.
He's lucky.
What do you think about it?
Ends up with Giselle.
Ends up with Giselle is not.
She ends up
crazy.
With him is the way I look at it. Right.
They didn't end up with any. Either. Yeah,
neither of them ended up with each other. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Then there's the Uggs commercial he did, so that was lucky. 855-839-1210.
Isn't he dating Jennifer Aniston or something? Oh, it's Obama.
No, that's Obama. Maybe both. The Olsen twins will be mentioned at some point here. They usually are. All right, 855-839-1210. We'll talk with Victoria here. Around all this, and is Trump serious about this, and how would you do it? But the executive order being signed today is a big one, and how are these school districts going to respond? I'm waiting, though, on the executive order. I think it's tough to write this one on the Department of Education. You do need Congress to completely rid us of it, but you can make it so it doesn't function. I know that seems awful, but that's what the goal is. All right, let's go to Dave in Oakland. I think I know Dave's angle of who's lucky. I remember this name. Hey, Dave, good afternoon. Thanks for the wait. Hey. What do you have?
Hi, Tom Selak from Croatia.
Okay.
All right. In 62,
mm-hmm.
he got into a train accident
right.
off a bridge into a river. Some stranger saved him. In 63... he fell from a malfunctioning airplane and landed in a haystack. In 66, he was in a bus accident to a river and swam to shore. In 70, his car caught fire and got out before the fuel tank blew up. In 95, he was hit by a bus. In 96, he lost control of his car and landed in a tree. And he hit the lottery.
Yeah, the lottery, wow. Every time this comes up, when the hitting the lottery to at the end, the odds on this guy are in the billions upon billions and billions.
So just going through the order again, train crash, plane right. crash, bus right. crash, car crash, right. bus again, car again, and hit the lottery.
Hit the lottery. The haystack, he falls into a haystack in the one. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. That's a good one, Dave. Thank you. Yeah, very lucky to put that in. Now, with the signing of this executive order today, some people are billing MAGA as the new feminist. So it brings up again, what's the definition? You know, we've gone through this multiple times. To be a feminist today, you really, according to the left, you have to be anti-feminist. You have to say to these women, you're going to have to train harder. Shut up. You're a bigot. Is Riley Gaines a feminist? Of course she is, by any definition that fits me. So is MAGA the new feminist? And the people on the left certainly are not feminists, because a feminist is not going to have women have to compete against someone who have that much of an advantage, both on a competitive level and a safety level. Are they? Well, they say they're feminist because these people truly are females. In their mind or otherwise. So you're going to be hearing that today. And I think it's apt that these are the people that are actually. And look, whatever his other flaws are on this, Trump has advanced women into powerful positions. Caroline Leavitt is only 27. Pam Bondi is an example. Susie Wiles is chief of staff. So you can claim non-diversity, but there are a good number of women that are in charge of major areas here. Ones I just listed. Attorney General is probably the key of all the cabinet positions when you think about the things that can go on and have gone on, particularly in the last 8 to 10 years. All right, 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all that you need to do is push pound 12.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
All right, Dom Giordano's show, and John Fetterman voted yes for Pam Bondi. I mean, again, people lecture me all the time. Why do you keep on bringing this up about Fetterman? He's the one that's compromising. He's the one that's showing the way here for Democrats of what they should be doing. They're not going to. And, you know, even I don't agree. He even said the president's proposal about Israel was provocative. He didn't say negative. We should have taken this one off the board. Somebody asked me, Chris, was DJ Donald J. Trump taken off? We never take Trump as an answer or the Bible. We're not, you know, going to back and forth on that. All right. Side question. We try to remove into a little bit outside the box. So, yeah, we get. But Trump is only lucky. The assassin missed by a little bit. I get that. We're talking about broader luck. Where you almost can't believe it, like Adam Sandler, even though Dan disagrees. Yeah, I think that guy could be worth it. No, Pete Davidson. Now, come on. Is Pete Davidson funny? Is there something I'm missing here?
I think he's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah? Come on.
I don't get it.
About the guy.
Does Pete Davidson look like a guy dating Kim Kardashian? I just
No. It is, for all the women he's dated, he doesn't look like he should be with any of them.
That's my point. Exactly. Yeah.
No, yeah, I agree exactly, with that much. Yeah. He is lucky in that regard.
Yeah. Okay.
He looks like the kid that wears a hoodie and puts his head down in the back of the classroom.
Yeah.
Oh, he's always sleeping. Yeah.
At the history class. Yeah.
Let's go to Joe in Columbus. Another guy who's a lucky guy, without a doubt. He's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe. Welcome in.
Dom, Dan had to paint that image before you picked up my phone call. The guy in the hood back of it. Oh man, Dom, last night when Trump designated he was going to make Gaza a Club Med, I had a couple of my nightly contacts gasp, and I instantaneously put a smile on my face when he said that, because I said, you know, this guy's a step and a half, two steps beyond, and he's waiting for the first useful idiot to come out and react to this. And lo and behold, it's Chris Matthews. Sorry, Jimmy, but that was almost predictable.
Yeah, you know? Atlantic City, that was a nice touch by Chris Matthews, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what do you, Atlantic City, Club Med, you know, singles, retreat. You know, it's funny the spin they put on it, but that was the first useful idiot to bite, and I loved it. It couldn't have been more appropriate. So, you know, they're there for entertainment value.
So you're in the camp, or I am, saying this is just to shake things up. He's not being serious that we do any of this, particularly American troops there.
No, Don, he has more important things to go to work on. Absolutely. He's not going to start hanging, you know, the condos in Gaza. You know?
The idea of bringing Atlantic City to Gaza is crazy.
Oh, man, he resurfaces. We need him back on MSNBC. He was in the Joy Reid spot, yeah.
I smiled inadvertently the moment that came on. I had a couple of friends contact me saying, oh, my God, what's he doing? I just said, just stay put. Stay put. Let it play out. And it played out beautifully so far. My side question, and it might be morbid, but it really hit close to home because I had a couple of survivors. One was a miracle because he should have been above the impact zone, was 9/11, the World Trade Centers, and everybody below those impact zones.
Yeah.
One of my better friends, at the last minute, his wife said, it's our daughter's first day at school. Why don't you come with me and make a memory with, you know, your kindergarten daughter? He would have been well above the 88th floor on the World Trade Center.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that French documentary, Joe, when the choice was to stay there, kid yourself, be burned alive, or jump, and you hear the bodies hitting the ground during the documentary, and the media just doesn't play that anymore. They stopped it after a while because it's so inspirational about what we're up against.
And it's everybody, you can't help but think, everybody below that was spared. You know, everybody above, why was their fate cast, you know?
Yeah, exactly right, Joe. A very good one. That's the people that didn't go that day, et cetera. Now, Caroline Leavitt has just answered, that the president hasn't committed to American troops being there, et cetera. Well, he didn't, per se, but that's what you'd have to do. He did talk about protection there. That's what you'd have to do if you're going to rebuild Gaza. I get it, the builder instincts and all, but it is preposterous. And resettling the Palestinians, you know what we're going to hear right away, ethnic cleansing. So you and I can say, well, why would they? In fact, the president, Whitlow, with Hannity last night, the president's special envoy said, well, why would they want to stay there? Yeah, I get it. But as weird as it is, that's their sense of place. That's their sense of home. You know, we all know somebody. We have a friend, Dan and I, we work with, whose mom still lives in Kensington, Dan, and doesn't want to move, can move. You know what I mean? He can't do anything about it. She's lived in that home God knows how many years, and that's it. Well, why would you want to stay in Gaza? It's their sense of place. Plus, any number of them want to kill Jews, so there's that. They are not going to easily just be transferred. And the other countries don't want them. Would you want them coming to your country? Jordan, for example, scared to death of what they would do in Jordan. And they're right. These countries don't want them. That's part of the problem.
You want some of that press conference from Gaza? I do.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
On Gaza, the president has spent basically his entire public career criticizing foreign entanglements, nation building, sending American troops to fight abroad, particularly in the Middle East. This plan seems like it could ultimately involve all of those things. Can you explain this reversal and how building and owning Gaza squares with America First foreign policy?
I would reject the premise of your question that this forces the United States to be entangled in conflicts abroad. The president has not committed to putting boots on the ground in Gaza. He has also said that the United States is not going to pay for the rebuilding of Gaza. His administration is going to work with our partners in the region to reconstruct this region. And let me just take a step back here, because This is an out-of-the-box idea. That's who President Trump is. That's why the American people elected him. And his goal is lasting peace in the Middle East for all people in the region. And as I said in my opening remarks, we've had the same people pushing the same solutions to this problem for decades. And it's been made very clear to the president that the United States needs to be involved in this rebuilding effort to ensure stability in the region for all people. But that does not mean boots on the ground in Gaza. It does not mean American taxpayers will be funding this effort. It means Donald Trump, who is the best deal maker on the planet, is going to strike a deal with our partners in the region.
Well, that's not what we heard. He talked about ownership of it down the road. Look, I'm willing to say that he's meaning shake things up with this. That's what Wall said, that we're clearly not going to do this. But the idea, she's right in that the idea that the same things we've tried are not going to work with this, but that doesn't mean that this is not preposterous. All right? I get it. After a period of time, you throw up your hands because what do you do in this situation? And I gave you what the dilemma is. Now, if I'm sitting there as president, though, and I want to move everything forward, then I start to throw some stuff out there and see if something happens. Okay. But the problem is this is different than offering incentives to people. Dan, you've heard me talk about, you know, maybe I've gotten jaded over years of time. Do you believe these people can have an incentive? Those that clearly say, we don't want Israel there. We've said it since, what, 1947-ish? We don't want them there. We're not going to put up with this. That's what they want. They don't want them there. Yeah, but what about this? You're going to have a life here? And nope. We don't want them there. We don't want them. We want them dead or out of there. Now, it's hard for people to accept. They're thinking, well, this is a miserable life. Just look at this place. It's all tunnels. It's all broken down. There's no infrastructure. There's no movement forward. These countries, even sitting on oil, can't move forward. Well, why? They're telling you why, what they want. Yeah, but that's crazy, right? I get it. I've seen this type of stuff. You have people that are irrational. They're coming at you. The only thing you can do is defend yourself. You're not going to convince them that this is irrational and isn't it better to have this better life? I think that's the real world. And I think all this other stuff just does not work. 855-839-1210, you get on board. Let's go to Chip in Lower Egg Harbor Township. All right, Chip, what's the dividing line between Lower Egg and Upper Egg?
Well, it's Little Egg Harbor.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, I see on the board lower. Okay. What's the dividing line between Little Egg and Big Egg?
Well, it's Egg Harbor Township. It's the river, Great Bay, and the Mullica River would be the line, I guess.
Oh, thank good. I got down there, Dom. What the heck's going on?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, is Absecon in Egg Harbor Township?
We think Absecon's Atlantic City, kind of the same situation as Atlantic City in Absecon. Okay. Yeah.
Now, is it called Egg Harbor because it smells like sulfur and eggs?
Yeah, that bad smell?
I think not necessarily. I think the name goes back to the Native Americans.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry for all this tomfoolery. what do you have?
You're asking who's lucky.
Yes.
I'll tell you who's lucky. Every adopted kid is lucky. You never know how these kids are going to end up. As an adopted kid myself, I was adopted very, very young in life, and I'm the luckiest kid in the world, not Lou Gehrig, because without the two best parents that adopted me when I was a little tiny baby, I might not exist, or I would have been in foster care, or who the heck knows. And there's so many kids in this country especially that get adopted, and they are just lucky. Because their life could have been a lot different.
Great, Chip, that is great. That is just touching. That is exactly on point. Yeah, absolutely. Well put.
That's it, man.
Thank you,
great
Chip.
Great show. Love
Thank
you.
You, Chip. Thank you, Chip, very much. Dan, it's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
I should have taken that note to self. Next time you do Lucky, take adopted children off.
Between that and Joe and Columbus, man, this is a heavy side.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll have to get a fun one here outside of All right, we got a guy who, do I have time? Let me just take this here very quickly. Anthony, so you work with President Trump. You think he's being serious about Gaza?
Yeah, listen, if Donald Trump says that he's going to build on 49th Street in Philly, and it's going to be beautiful, hang your hat on it. It's going to be beautiful, and he's going to build on 49th Street. All right, there's nothing that this guy, he starts, his juices go when you say he can't do it.
Well, I admire now, that. I admire that usually, Anthony, but my juices say these people are telling you what they want.
The people are telling you. Well, he's laying down foreign policy. I mean, he wants. This is what Netanyahu wants, and this is what Trump wants.
Well, I don't think the American people want it. You seem to want it.
No. How is that possible? We want peace.
Right.
All right, so, but listen, you put the Native Americans in the middle of a country called Oklahoma. Nobody felt that in the 1800s that they were going to thrive and be successful. You got to show them a way.
All right, thanks, Anthony. Wow. I appreciate the effort there. No sale, though. Now, Victoria Coates, one of our favorites. I don't know if she's on board with Anthony. We'll see. Got a lot of other stuff with her from the Heritage Foundation. She's next on Talk Radio 1210. All right, you heard Anthony's take on Mara Gaza, as some people are calling it today. Dom Giordano Show. Vice President of the Heritage is Catherine and Shelby Cullen Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy. Dr. Victoria Coates will be with us. Her new book, current book, is about this very situation of Israel winning, America winning. But she's been on with us just recently in the Gabbard Patel hearings, and I'm sure has a lot to say about USAID, AID. Dr. Victoria Coates is with us here on Talk Radio 1210. Dr. Coates, Victoria, welcome back to town. Thanks for joining us.
Don, great to be with you. I actually prefer Gaza Lago.
Okay. Now, they cited you. It jumped off the page with me. I go by Selena Zito. Don't take Trump literally, but seriously. So are you taking him literally about Gaza in any way, shape, or form?
Well, I may have been one of the few people who wasn't actually surprised. I mean, I was surprised it happened last night, but I wasn't surprised by what he said. Because the president has been saying things like this about Gaza since his first term. And it has always been deeply frustrating to him that such a beautiful piece of land on the Mediterranean coast is such a basket case. And that it has seemed just illogical to him that people are living there and not taking advantage of it. And so, a lot of what we worked on during the first term, the so-called deal of the century, what the offer that would be made to the Palestinians, involved developing Gaza. It involved, the Gaza Marine Project for natural gas, basic infrastructure projects. And I think that is naturally top of mind for him. And he's determined not to let October 7th happen again. And here's a way to do that.
Now, I've only been there once, and you are one of the best people in the world, particularly for talk radio. So I tread on dangerous ground, though. But aren't there significant numbers of people there, and when I was there, saying, we don't want Israel there, we don't want Jews there, they can leave or be killed? When people tell me that stuff, I'm from South Philly, I believe them, and I don't see how you can incentivize them. Plus, wouldn't it take American troops? And isn't this getting away a bit from America First, as frustrating as it is, to just say we're going to do the same old things? We got to do something different. I agree.
No, but I think you raise a series of legitimate questions. And here's how I understand what would happen. So in the Palestinians living in Gaza, you are 100% correct, have a horrendous radicalization problem. They have been systematically radicalized over generations by the very United Nations institutions that we have funded with U.S. taxpayer dollars. And you can't, I mean, it is hard to make that many people that vicious simultaneously that they achieved on October 7th. So that is real. So the solution appears to be that the people currently living in Gaza will be moved out of Gaza for a period. And I think the logical places for them to go are the Sinai Desert in Egypt and to Jordan. Both Jordan and Egypt are massive recipients of U.S. assistance, and they need to get to yes on this.
Can I interrupt and ask you, too? Now, not that I'm going to throw the crazy ethnic cleansing around. As crazy as it is, and Whitlow was on Hannity last night talking about this, why would they want to live there? They seemingly do, though. So does that violate anything to we would physically move them out of there?
Well, temporarily. So for some period of time, they will go to these other places where you can do the de-radicalization, which has been done effectively in Morocco, for example. I think the Moroccans, who are an Abraham Accords country, would be very willing to assist in this. While that is going on, because this is what the president was talking about, you clear out Gaza, you do the demining, you destroy the tunnels, and you essentially do what I would see not as a nation-building project, but as a real estate development project. And he was pretty clear about that, unless it's financed, and Caroline Leavitt just said this from the podium at the White House, that they expect the wealthy nations of the Gulf to finance this project. If they don't, for whatever reason, it's an investment by the United States, and we will own it and treat it like an investment property, which, of course, the president has all across the world. So I think far more likely the Gulf would pay for it. It would be, you know, a local thing. It would be rebuilt for the people of Gaza. And if they wish, you know, in a less radical state to come back and live there, that would be an option for them. And that is essentially the vision the president laid out.
And he would be doing this basically with what power? Would there have to be any other power involved? In other words, the removal out of Gaza under what agency? Under Israel, since Israel had control, that Israel would give the go-ahead to do that?
Well, and Gaza is a unique place in that the sovereignty over it is not established. It isn't Palestinian territory. Mm-hmm. The Israelis withdrew from it voluntarily in 2006. I suppose you could make an argument that Israel could claim it as sovereign territory, and that could be recognized. But right now, it's, I think, a very unusual circumstance in which that is not clear. So the movement of the Palestinians doesn't mean there's not jurisdiction over that. And I think in some cases it would be voluntary, that if you're being promised full reconstruction, going elsewhere while the construction is going on is a logical thing to do. And the governments of Jordan and Egypt, I think, could oversee that.
All right. You've thrown something in here that I wish we had heard yesterday, and you always do, and that is this de-radicalization procedure. We haven't heard anything like that other than the incentive of coming back. Because as I told you, and I think maybe you agree, if they're not de-radicalized, all the incentives in the world and all this stuff is not going to matter.
100%. That's where we have to focus. That's why the president was correct to defund UNRWA and all of its subsidiaries yesterday. That was, you know, a very important thing to do. It is broken. It cannot do this job. It doesn't want to do this job. It is part of the problem. And so, you know, the Saudis also have significant experience with de-radicalization. You know, they had their own problem, which contributed significantly to the 9/11 attacks on the United States. They have gotten after that. And, you know, the king of Saudi Arabia as the keeper of the two mosques and the king of Morocco as the defender of the faith have special resonance for this project. And so if you have the serious buy-in of those two monarchs, you know, I think there is a long way you can go to doing this. They know how to do it. They've done it before.
I was completely unaware of that, so I thank you. We don't hear anything like that. That's another book, the current book, The Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. I wish you were standing there to explain this. You know, that's not Trump's detailed orient on the. If that had been thrown out, the de-radicalization part of this, it would have been interesting. The media is still going to go after it, but it would have been more interesting. Is that the best plan that you can see, or is there something less gigantic that you think can be done, or it's going to take something like this in your view?
It's going to take something very different, and I think that is part of the president's calculus, that we for 50 years have been insisting on this two-state solution, you know, based on the 67 borders, you know, mm-hmm. that you can just recite these things like articles of faith, but it has never come to be. And, you know, I would argue, I wouldn't want to put these words in his mouth, I would argue it's because the Palestinians aren't a nation. They don't have the institutions right. of a nation state.
They don't, exactly.
And so trying to make them one, or trying to give them one, is doomed to failure. And I think what he is trying to do is to propose to them a more comfortable, prosperous, secure life, that this is possible for them. He has, in a very disciplined manner, stayed away from, you know, a two-state solution, any kind of rhetoric like that, and has said, which I think is correct, that it is for Israel and the Palestinians to negotiate what that looks like. But that here he sees an opportunity for the United States to take the lead, because heaven knows no one else has stood up. Even those who have professed for generations their deathless commitment to the Palestinian cause, no one has stood up and said, okay, here's how we're going to solve this problem, besides the old tired formula. And he's just determined not to repeat generations of failure, and this is his proposal. So I think all those folks, including a whole bunch of Democrats in Congress who have been demanding a plan B or whatever the next day is for Gaza, instead of now condemning this, should say, okay, somebody put a plan on the table, something Joe Biden didn't do for 15 months, and here's a plan. And rather than condemning it, either we should present our own plan or get behind it.
Or moderations on this, you know, within right. this idea. You've given us a good look at articulating what this is that is different and not as wild sounding as we heard since last night. You have to be happy, since we last talked, that it looks like Tulsi Gabbard is going to, I don't know about a glide path, if there ever is such a thing, but what about Cash Patel? How does that stand?
No, I think actually all three nominations, I think RFK Jr. for mm-hmm. HHS, Tulsi Gabbard for the Office of National Intelligence, and Cash Patel for the FBI, it looks like all three of those are going to go through. And if I had told you that we would have, you know, Secretary Hegseth in, you know, in his chair, and, you know, I guess he got in the last week in January, that we would have Gabbard and Kennedy and Patel in place the second week in February. Oh, and Pam Bondi in place the first week in February. Everybody would have told me I was crazy, but that is what has happened. And again, this is presidential leadership. This is President Trump saying to the Congress, I have a mandate. I was given it by the American people. These are the people I want. And quite frankly, the Congress has fallen in line.
They definitely have. Now, it was held in secret, right? The vote on Tulsi Gabbard. And yet we knew early on Susan Collins, who I thought usually is the hardest no vote on something like this, came out and said everything was fine.
She did. And I think Lieutenant Colonel Gabbard was very attentive to Senator Collins's concerns about intelligence sharing with the Congress as a former member of Congress. So I think that was very helpful for her. And I think she had a lot of very good conversations with Senator Todd Young of Indiana, who was another Republican holdout. You might recall he was yep. not supportive of President Trump last year in the presidential. So he could have been a holdout, and he came around and voted for her as well. So I think there was party recognition that she is qualified, you know, she is the president's choice, and it's their job then to confirm her.
Well, I don't know about you. I wanted to ask you this, though, due to your sensibilities on this. Pam Bondi, to me, already, and I've talked to her, had her on three or four times over the years, is the real star in this, in the key role, already talking about the Epstein file and things of that nature, and just how methodical and detailed-oriented she is. I think she will have a steady course as Attorney General.
I think General Bondi is fantastic. She was a rock star in Florida, very much a by-the-law constitutionalist. And we, you know, the American people got to meet her and get to know that during her confirmation hearing when she handled herself so professionally and with so much dignity and then knowledge and seriousness. And so DOJ is probably, I could go down the list of all the departments I'd like to reform, but DOJ is probably in the most need of reform. It touches the American people, you know, a great deal, and affects the way we live. And so I think getting General Bondi in place yesterday, I guess it was, we're in dog years now in the first couple weeks of the Trump term. It's hard to tell time, but getting her in place, getting Cash in place will be, you know, really, really great. And I'm so pleased to see those nominations come through.
Absolutely. Dr. Coates, thank you so much. The current book couldn't be more relevant to what we're talking about, The Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. Any audience with Benjamin Netanyahu while he's here?
Unfortunately, we are not going to have time to see each other on this trip, but he just appointed a very dear friend of mine as his key advisor for international affairs, Caroline Glick, who you may
have, yes. Over the years, I've spoken with her several times. Yes.
Caroline is in place. She was in the front row for the presser yesterday. And so we are in very close touch, and it's great to have him in town.
Absolutely. Doctor, thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Go Birds.
All right. You got it, Doctor. I should have asked a Super Bowl score there. My fault. Nice work by Henry. Tip of the hat, getting her on a moment's notice, so to speak. All right. She laid out the Gaza thing much better than we heard. Is a real estate deal. De-radicalization. How long would you have to take them to these other countries? We do have leverage over these other countries in some ways, but the fly in the ointment, Dan, has always been, do you want them coming into your country en masse? And the answer in Jordan has always been no. They'll destabilize the country. That's what they're up to. So as you're trying to de-radicalize, they're trying to destabilize. There's a race there. So she put it in much better terms, but 855, what Anthony said, he just compared it to Native Americans on reservations or something. My God. 855-839-1210. More calls coming up. All right, Dom Giordano's show. So it looks like Pete Hegseth and Sean Duffy have been traded to the Trump administration, and they got star player Lara Trump back. Lara Trump is now going to be hosting a 9 o'clock show on Saturday nights.
Fleeced.
On Fox. Okay, yes.
Fleeced.
We're breaking down the deal as we speak, whether it will involve Luka or other players or Joel Embiid. We don't know yet. It's all out there. It's all flexible. All right, coming up, Matt Rooney, who was one of the questioners of the first big Republican debate last night, realize how important this is. We have to get the right person to be the nominee. If it is the right person, then I think it's a better than even shot that we're going to see a Republican governor and one that has Trumpian backing here in New Jersey, as shocking as that is. That's all coming up in Dom's Money Melody. The side question, who's a very lucky person? 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.